as the Packers get ready for Saturday nights. And they'll take on the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC divisional round. The winner advances to the NFC championship game. Where is your confidence level in that occurring for the Green Bay Packers? Just in, by the way, for those of you that saw the video of Cowboys fans sprinting to the standing room only tickets, and in retrospect, the way that game went for them, maybe they could have just leisurely walked. The Packers announcing that they have a limited number of standing room only tickets for Saturday night's game that are being released right now. So you can buy those tickets and listen to the show simultaneously. But there are standing room only tickets. They are priced at $87 each. And you'll be able to stand in the area behind sections 432S and 442S on the fourth level in Lambeau Field's south end zone. So if you're interested in standing room only tickets, those are available. I want to get back to the confidence meter, but have you ever done standing room only tickets for a sporting event? And is that a matter of just wanting to be in the building? Because I can't imagine the view is particularly good.
I have not. I guess if you consider the Derby, back in the old days, we went and sat in the infield, which is kind of like standing room only. So, yeah, I guess I have done it. Would I do it again? No, I would not.
I have done standing room only. Yes, I have done it. It is a matter, and I've done it at a Brewers game. It's just a matter of you want to be in the stadium. You want to, and like at AmFam Field, you got all kinds of space you can find. You can stand up against some of the railings. They've got, like, you know, a little tabletop set up in front of you where you can set beverages and food down, and you can kind of make your own space. But being in the building with the 42,000, or for Green Bay, the 81,000 fans that are just going to be just hyped up into it, like, that's the point of being there. You just want to say you were there to see the Packers beat the 49ers. You were there as part of the historic run to win the Super Bowl. Like, whatever it is, that's the appeal of standing room only.
Ashton, at some point after the season, when you'll probably still be producing the show at some level, I want to delve into the fact that you've never attended a concert. But have you ever attended a game and had standing room only tickets?
No, I have not. I honestly don't see the point in going just to be there. If I'm going to a sporting event, I'd like to be able to enjoy it and take it in. So I would love to have a heart, but I don't think I do.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. All right, so 800-990-3776. I know we've also got a few texts on the soon-to-be reinstated, apparently, ESPN Madison First Midwest Bank talk and text line of 844-770-3776. And apparently we've learned from Ed that you can call that number and talk to Jesse. That's all you can do by calling that number right now and talk to Jesse. You won't
you
make it onto the air.
We'll do our own show over here behind the scenes.
Talk a little bowling, ask him some questions about his unofficial stepfather, Matt LePay, whatever it may be. But 800-990-3776 is the actually effective for now First Midwest Bank talk and text line. Let's get to one more call here. Let's talk to our buddy Jim in Saukville. Jim, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. Where's your confidence meter?
Well, to be honest, one thing I recognize is my confidence is represented by confliction. And what I mean by that, in terms of what my mind recognizes and what my heart is trying to tell me, when I run through this game, everything intellectually or what I look at is telling me the Packers should win this. So that level of confidence, I'd say, is relatively high. But my heart, I think, is just, there's just so much stake from a fan standpoint. It's a home game. And then we consider how we exited last year. The expectations are high there. But I got to admit, I'm scared to death on that. So, Jim,
is your heart doing this to you because it's been broken so many times in the playoffs? You think that's why?
Yeah, it's making me super cautious. But my mind says it's a win.
Yeah. All right, we will see if that occurs. Thanks for the call, Jim. We appreciate it. I do think, and as someone who has witnessed many of these in person, you know, we were making fun of Mike McCarthy a little bit, that at the end of a game, like, you look at his playoff record, and there are most of the games that they lost during the Mike McCarthy era in the postseason have been gut-wrenching, at the end, final play, overtime, whatever it might have been, right? I mean, Tausch, you were there in 09, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers in his first playoff game, I think, throws a pick in his first pass as in a postseason game, and then is outstanding. And then, as we know how that game ended in Arizona. So I do think, as someone who's seen it, I'm guessing for fans, Tausch, there are plenty like Jim who they're trying to protect their hearts a little bit and maybe hold off on the printing of the T-shirts.
Yeah, and I don't blame people for doing that, but I think you have to be willing to throw yourself out there as a fan too. And you're potentially get your gut ripped out. You can get your heart ripped out. Yeah, it can happen. But it also can be glorious. And, you know, Jason, you'll never know that feeling. You're not going to know the feeling of getting your heart gutted. And you're not going to know the elation of what it's like to be a fan and enjoying it. So you could be like you and just play it straight down the middle and not care and just worry about the story. Or you could be like most of us and say, man, yeah, we last year hurt walking out the building, and you see that all that was put into it, and it didn't come to fruition. It stings for fans, too. But you also can have that glory. You can also have that Disneyland finish, and it doesn't happen very often. We saw it with the Milwaukee Bucks. We saw the amount of passion that ran through Fiserv. Same thing can happen here. So I think you can have false confidence and hope, or you can be the baddest team in the NFL and say, we're the baddest team in the NFL. We're going to get it done. That's the mentality I think most of us are taking.
800-990-3776. That is the First Midwest Bank talk and text line.
Do you feel like you're missing out on anything by not ever letting your hair down?
Nope.
I got a hard time buying that.
I can tell you.
You love Devontae Adams.
I appreciate you telling
me how Adams
I feel.
No. I have a hard time believing it. I'm saying you've known Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Mason Crosby, all these guys that you've known for a long time and covered, and you have no emotional connection to seeing if they go on and fulfill their dream and their legacy. I had a hard time buying that. I do.
I can still be happy for people that I like and care about, including you, when you, at the end of your illustrious career, got a Super Bowl ring, even though you were injured. Like, I can still be happy that for people I like, but you're right. I don't feel that elation. When Sydney makes a shot playing in her on her basketball team, I feel elation. When Madison marches out during the Nutcracker, I feel elation. I'm not related to any of these guys. I don't feel the same way about them. I don't love them.
But nobody's related to these guys.
I really like Devontae Adams. I love Devontae Adams. He has been phenomenal to deal with, to work with, to have a working / whatever relationship
with. Who do you love more, Aaron Rodgers or Devontae?
Today, right now?
No, as a whole. Career arc of your career, who do you love more, Aaron Rodgers or Devontae Adams?
Dorsey Lovins. Let's get to some of your text messages on the talk and text line. 800-990-3776.
You see what I deal with? All I get is questions peppered to me. I ask 3 questions a month, and I never get an answer from him.
Everybody love everybody. That's all I got to say. ELE.
But it's frustrating. Hey, it's peppering. I think it's Devontae Adams. Jesse, are you guessing? Is it Devontae or Aaron? I'm saying Devontae as the crow flies right now.
Now, Jason's a big history guy. He likes the nostalgia, and he's gonna he might want to say Devontae, but he's gonna think back to RELAX and all those fond memories.
Yeah, that's true.
Tuesdays with Aaron.
That might
he's gonna
be
say
true.
Aaron.
Yeah,
I try, Jason.
That might be true.
Yep. Interesting, Jesse, I find myself wondering how well you really know me when, as a reason for why I would love the quarterback more, you cite a radio show that was highly successful, thoroughly enjoyable, and has been replaced by a show that he does on the same day with someone else, and how that might influence my feelings. I have no idea why.
You don't feel like you really know me that well. Come on, Jesse.
Tash, I think he's picking Devontae.
Devontae is the pick. He just won't say it.
76. Yeah. Jesse.
And I don't blame him for not saying it. I get it. But this is his passive.
See what I deal with? Do you see what I deal with?
Pretty good, Tausch.
That is nothing like my voice at all.
Jim in Indianapolis. Apparently, I've been texting the wrong number. He says, while I have a lot of confidence in the Packers' chances, don't forget who was the MVP in Super Bowl 31. Desmond Howard was a special teams player. That's Jim in Indianapolis. First of all, Favre, I like Desmond Howard as much as the next guy, but Brett Favre should have been the MVP of Super Bowl 31. People got a little caught up in Desmond's return. I get it. It was a crucial play. They were still winning the game at the time of his return. So I got a ballot that day, and I voted for Brett Favre, just to be clear. Now, that is true,
though. Reginald White? How about Reggie White?
Three sacks! Poor
Max
Lane.
Are you kidding
me?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. He should have been on the list, too. That would have been a very legitimate vote.
Was Reggie number three on the vote that day? Was it Desmond Favre? Total tally?
I don't know the answer to that. They don't release that. You fill out your ballot, you hand it to someone, they take it. I was in an auxiliary area of the Superdome. They never tell you who was second or who was third. I can tell you this, though. They do tell you who would have won if a game had gone differently. Like in Super Bowl 32. Antonio Freeman was going to be the MVP of the game if the Packers had won it. But they lost, so it was John Elway. I'll tell you who my MVP is when it's time to order pizza. The most valuable pizza comes from Toppers.
Football and pizza, they go hand in hand at Toppers Pizza. And our guy Jonathan Taylor, I want to hook you up during this postseason with a fantastic contest. Go to toppers.com/ESPN right now, and you can win an autographed Jonathan Taylor Wisconsin jersey along with a $280 gift card to Toppers Pizza. That, my friends, you can get lots of Topper sticks for $280. Sign up at toppers.com/ESPN. Badger legend Jonathan Taylor, he loves him some Topper's Pizza. Reward yourself and download the all-new Topper's Pizza app and earn points for free food. Topper's Pizza is growing. Can be like Jonathan Taylor and become a Topper's franchisee. Learn more about the Topper's story and request more info at toppers.com/franchise. Pizza, football, and an awesome contest from our friends at Topper's Pizza. For your chance to win the signed JT jersey and that Topper's gift card, go to toppers.com/ESPN.
We'll get to some of your texts on the First Midwest Bank Talkin' text line, and then we'll get ready to play a little trivia as well. That's all still ahead. Stick around. It's Will Dean Tausch. A little trivia coming up, so stand by for that. Speaking of playing some fun games that we like to play around here, hey Jesse, before we play what we're about to play, any chance that as things are starting to shape up that we may get back to our Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin game?
I can't wait.
You know what the answer is here? You know what the answer would be?
Maybe.
We're not going to play that today, but we're going to bring it back.
I got a quick question. So I've heard the thing like, oh, your voice is like scratching chalkboards and is paint. You know, we love Holman Lindsay Paints, right? Been a great partner forever. I'm not 100% sure if you're listening. If you hear, if somebody says that's like paint peeling, I don't think that's like some big negative.
Okay. Since we're going to go here, that's not what the person wrote. They said his voice can peel paint, meaning like it's so shrill and annoying that it would peel the paint off the walls. Because I don't think paint makes a sound when it is peeling, but I would defer to Holm and Lindsay on that.
No, paint definitely will make a sound when it's peeling, but I think it would actually kind of be therapeutic, like a smooth zzz. I don't even know how, but paint peeling. Now, but that makes more sense.
Paint peeling makes a noise. I don't know what that noise is, and it sounds like snoring.
I think it would be soothing, not snoring. It would be soothing, like a gentle peel. Yeah.
Well, I think we can all agree that based on feedback we've been receiving, that Jesse's voice is not soothing. Time
now. Who do you guys think they're talking about?
Boy, that does. My walls are painting the peel.
Time now for Did You Hear? And I wish I hadn't heard that. Did you hear this?
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This on Willie and Tausch.
All right, guys. It's the how confident are the national people in the Packers beating the 49ers edition. And we begin on Pardon the Interruption with Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser. They both they would say that they're already printing their Packers championship merchandise based on the matchup this week. Here's what they had to say.
The only game I'm just going to rule out and say, nope, no chance, is 49ers at Green Bay. Not unless Steve Young or Joe Montana comes back to quarterback the 49ers, am I going to see that upset taking place.
I don't give San Francisco much of a chance in Green Bay. The largest advantage we have here in terms of home field is the weather in Green Bay. So I think Green Bay is going to win that game.
Is the weather a significant advantage here, Tausch?
No, actually it's not. And we've always talked about this with Aaron Rodgers and how precise he is with the football. His arm can, he'll throw the ball through, it'll cut the wind. Yeah, he's got a strong arm, no question about it. But if you build your team based on defense, special teams, and physicality, you want this weather. That's San Francisco. That's how San Francisco built. So for as much as I agree with Tony and Wilbon on the fact that I think this is a game that Green Bay should win and all the other stuff, the weather, and as much as it pains me to say this, no team has lost more home playoff games since 2000 than the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau. So that whole idea, I get there's 80,000. We are a better football team than San Francisco. That's why we should win. Not because we're playing at Lambeau. Home field is important in all sports. In football, it might be the most important because of the things I go over all the time. Snap counts and audibles and being able to get off on the line of scrimmage. All of those things are important. As far as the weather goes, it's not going to be the reason that this team wins or loses. And I think San Francisco, even though they live in NoCal, and you could say it's soft and all this other stuff, they're a team that is built on physicality. That's what cold weather football is all about. That's why Packer fans are more excited, because A.J. Dillon brings that physicality. Dean Lowry and Lancaster shoring up, stopping the run. That's why we're more excited. Not other stuff. And by the way, to Wilbon's point, you bring Steve Young or Joe Montana back, that argument, those guys are 70 years old, man. They're not going to do anything this weekend.
Well, let me just clarify. So I make a joke about you drinking beer on the sideline, and I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
You saying that they're not even getting their ages right, bringing back Montana and Young, and that's
Montana's got to be mid-60s.
That's high comedy.
Montana's got to be
mid-60s. Those guys are 70 years old. That's what you said.
Joe Montana's 65.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. Who, Montana's 65?
Yep.
They might be drinking beer on the sideline. All right. I can't believe Wilbon was that definitive. I know that's the job of PTI, but man, oh man, like to say that they have no chance. They ain't playing the Eagles.
I would disagree with that.
It was. What's next, Jesse?
Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst on SportsCenter. This one comes complete with some awesome guitar music in the background. Speaks to what Tausch was saying, and Dan Orlovsky earlier this week as well, that the 49ers are kind of the team that's exactly built to come and beat the Packers. Here's Ryan Clark.
Can you go back to early on in this year? It took a great heave and an excellent catch by Devontae Adams for the Green Bay Packers to get the field goal and beat the San Francisco 49ers 2 years ago in the NFC Championship. The 49ers rushed for 300 yards, and that team is built much like that team from that year. They can run the football physically, offensively. Deebo Samuel might be the best running back in this game, and he's a god darn wide receiver. So I think this team is uniquely built to beat a team like the Green Bay Packers, who struggle against the run sometimes defensively and also aren't always as healthy offensively as they need to be on the line to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Tausch, guitar solo aside, does Ryan Clark have a point? Is he right?
I've said for the last 4 or 5 weeks, San Fran's a team that, you know, from a matchup standpoint, being able to get home with four is critical when you're playing Aaron Rodgers. That is... if you can't do that, you've seen teams not have very much success against him playing defense. So I do think there's parts of that that's right. But again, there's two sides to this coin. The fact Deebo Samuel is a special talent, no question. But don't tell me that he's a better running back than Aaron Jones. No, just don't tell me that. If you say Deebo Samuel is a special athlete that gives you all kinds of matchup problems, 100% I'm on board with that. But as far as the, you know, that part of the matchup, yes, San Fran physical, good front, all that stuff. But again, the Green Bay Packers are a better roster and a better football team with a much, much better quarterback than the San Francisco 49ers. That's the real story, but that's not what is contrarian, and that's not the... that's not sexy as far as trying to keep interest in a game that is going to be an interesting football game. You don't need to make stuff up. There is a lot of intriguing things in this, but Green Bay is better, and Green Bay should win this game.
Yeah, I'm curious what their offensive line will look like and the cohesion. I want to spend a little bit of time on that with you tomorrow, Tausch, because I am curious when guys have been out for as long as Billy Turner has been, when guys have been out certainly as long as David Bakhtiari and Josh Myers as well. Yes, he got 32 snaps against the Lions, and that was important, but you're talking about potentially three out of the five pieces being different. And, oh, by the way, the fourth piece at right guard is someone who had played center for most of the year. So I understand what Ryan Clark's point is there, but I'm a little surprised, Tausch, that there hasn't been more discussion about what you just said, which is the vast crevasse, chasm, gulch between the two quarterbacks. Now, I am a Jimmy G apologist, and I think he's better than he gets credit for, but it is still a very large canyon between him and the guy the Packers have.
You know who knows that there's a monster gulch between these two quarterbacks?
Kyle Shanahan.
And John Lynch. They both know it. That's why they were rolling. Even after trading three first picks for Trey Lance, they still were trying to figure out, how can we get this cat out there and end a friendship? How do we do that? And they couldn't quite pull it off. They know. And you know who else knows that they know?
Bo.
Matt LaFleur and Goody and Aaron Rodgers all know.
Amen. So there's nothing better in sports, Jason, nothing better than when you know that they know that you know. Nothing better, because you know that they know. That's what's beautiful about it.
And all right, Jesse's got one more clip. They know that the Packers know. It's wonderful.
This is what Ed's talking about right there. Before Jesse plays his last clip, if that at all played out the way Kyle Shanahan had apparently convinced Aaron Rodgers it would, do the Packers then use one of those high picks to draft Trey Lance if they've traded Aaron Rodgers to the 49ers? Isn't that an interesting hypothetical to live
in? Let me ask you this. Same thing. Game at Lambeau, Jordan Love or Jimmy Garoppolo would have been part of this trade. Jimmy G is the quarterback with this roster, and with Aaron Rodgers as the starting quarterback or San Fran, who you picking? I'm picking the San Francisco 49ers. That's who I'm picking.
What a wild world that would have been. Jesse, what's your last clip?
The bold one, bold Bob DeBoldski, making a national appearance on ESPN Radio's Freddie and Fitzsimmons, which you could convince me Tausch was hosting one of the 2 days earlier this week. And DeBoldski said there is pressure on the Packers with a historic stat on the line.
They've won more regular season games over the last three seasons, 39 of them, than any team that has failed to get to a Super Bowl. Like, if they don't get to a Super Bowl, this will be the most wins in 3 years for a team that never got to the Super Bowl in any one of those 3 years. So, wow. To me, that's where the pressure stems from.
Tausch, is that something players are made aware of, and is there any added pressure when you hear a stat like that?
I don't think anyone cares about that stat. What they do care about is, we have been knock, knock, knocking on the door 2 years in a row, and it's time to knock it down. It's time to get the new Pella door that's open and has got all kinds of different access points to winning championships. That's what people, that's what I'm thinking about. But as a player, you're thinking, we have been there. We continue to put ourselves there. This could be a last dance deal. You got to finish it. And to, you know, to what Rob was saying there, there's no doubt Matt LaFleur feels that. And Aaron Rodgers, you get to this point in your life as a football player and you're 38, you start thinking, you know, when is the end? How many more cracks at this are we going to get? Because as Mike Golic said yesterday, I guarantee you Dan Marino, when he was 23, 24, as a rookie or as a, you know, an early player in his career, thinking, I'm going to get back here a bunch. Never happened, Captain. That's what you're thinking about.
Yeah. Time now for trivia. Someone will have to, in the oral history of Wilde and Tausch someday, there will be debates about how "ee-ah" ended up being the official sound effect to let people know on the stream that they are about to play trivia. I can only assume, Jesse, the category today is not time zones related.
I was told yesterday that an executive decision was reached and we will never be asking trivia questions about time zones again. Now,
until
we might go
you
back
decide
on that
to do
at
it
some
anyway.
Point. Right, but for the time being, there are no time zones that will be discussed. No, in honor of Tausch's guy, who he drafted in the 2019 NFL draft, getting cut yesterday, Kingsley Kike.
Mysteriously, yeah.
The 2019 Packers draft class is today's trivia category.
And because Kingsley Kiki was the 150th overall selection, Ashton, we will take caller 10 right now to 800-990-3776.
You lose your faith
caller
in me?
Caller 10. 150 is a lot, even for you. Caller 10 right now, 800-990-3776. We'll play trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Time for trivia. I will get time. Let's welcome in our contestants. It is Joel in Fitchburg. Joel, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We are doing well. Did you call Jesse's number first to just chat with him?
I did not.
Okay. Well, your loss. All right. Let's play trivia. Question one, Tausch, belongs to you in 2019 Packers draft class trivia.
All right, Joel. The Packers made two first-round selections in the 2019 NFL draft. Which of these players was not selected with a first-round pick that year? Is it A, Rashawn Gary, B, Darnell Savage, or C, Sam Ficken?
We're going with C.
Yeah, he's done a heck of a job for the Pack. That I know Jesse had him taking Mason Crosby's job 5-6 years ago.
Sam Ficken will be, again, when the oral history of Wilde and Tausch is told, Sam Ficken will have a prominent role in at least one anecdote. All right, question two, Joel. Let's keep it rolling. In which round of the 2019 NFL draft did the Packers select offensive lineman Elgton Jenkins out of Mississippi State? Was it the second round, the fourth round, or the sixth round?
Second round.
Two for two.
Yeah, what a great draft pick. Elgton Jenkins still on a Hall of Fame trajectory, even with the knee. All right, last one.
Makes you wish you had announced his pick instead.
No, I'm fine with taking Kingsley. Two players in the Packers 2019 draft class played college football at the same SEC school. Which school was it? Is it Arkansas, Texas A&M, or Florida?
Let's go with Texas A&M.
A perfect score. That means you've got four entries, Joel, into tomorrow's drawing if it occurs. And call Jesse at 844-770-3776 to remind him tomorrow, okay?
Sounds good.
That is Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Thanks to Joel for doing so well.
Who is the other A&M guy?
Jesse Sternberger.
Oh, Sterny. Mm-hmm. That has not worked out well from an Aggie Packers standpoint, huh?
Probably not going to the Texas A&M well again for a couple of years.
So Jason, what do you think? Because this is the tricky part of this, right? You have a bunch of guys coming back. Cobber. And D-Buck has been on the roster, but you only got 53 spots. Is this the case they're unhappy and Kingsley is done? Or is this, we need a roster spot, Kingsley's been out, we don't necessarily need him this week, nobody's going to pick him up? What do you think the Packers' mindset is with this?
Yeah, I don't know. There's been some intrigue and some mystery to his situation of late. And I've had a few conversations with people that would normally be in the know that have been very unwilling to even hint at anything. And that always makes me nervous. Look, I think we have become more aware of other things that can go on with people that are not injuries, like mental health type stuff. Kingsley Keke has dealt with concussions that ended his season last year, and he had a ton of problems coming back from it. He had a concussion earlier this year. Then he was on the injury list when he was inactive with an illness, apparently. There's something not quite right with this story. I don't know what it is. I have not gotten straight answers on it, and I'm not comfortable going further into it, so I'm glad that we didn't delve into it too far. But I think we have to – I will just be cautious in discussing it. I don't know what their plan – I don't know if they've moved on from him entirely, if they would put him on the practice squad because they do have some defensive linemen there. But, Tausch, he was a player that at this time last year before he suffered his concussion – they really liked him. Like, he led them in quarterback hits. He led them in sacks from defensive linemen last season. There is some talent there, but there's something else going on that I'm not really certain about. We're going to play a little Flush It or Flush It coming up. And we're also going to get into what the Packers' home field advantage might look like as the Packers get ready for Saturday night's game. That's all still ahead. It's Wilde and Tausch. Another one of our favorite things to do is flesh out Tausch's ideas. And that's why we have Flush It or Flush It, presented by the Gordon Flesh Company.
Flush It.
We fail multiple times with bad ideas. I didn't know were bad till I realized they didn't work.
Or Flush It.
Jason figured it out. Jason?
Yeah, that's one idea. Or we can work as a team.
Brought to you by Gordon Flesh Company. Business, technology, managed. Taking the worry out of your office equipment and IT needs.
for Flesh It or Flush It, presented by the Gordon Flesh Company. Tosh.
Yeah, and we just talked about a team. It takes a team to meet just about any goal, and that is as true on the football field as it is in the office, and it's good to know you have the Gordon Flesh Company on your side. For more than 60 years, Gordon Flesh Company is providing cutting-edge office technologies for companies of all sizes. Gordon Flesh Company deliver the latest office technology, service, and support by the most experienced professionals in the industry. Know a bunch of their team over there, Rolo and Blaze, Cluster. What a fantastic team. Best business technology managed. Visit gflesh.com to learn more. That's gflesh.com. The official partner, not only of your potential 14-time world champion Green Bay Packers, but also the Wisconsin Badgers.
Good old Blaze. Love Blaze.
Oh, you would not. You and Blaze wouldn't see eye to eye on much, I don't think. Yeah, I don't know about you and Blaze, Jason. Tall, yeah. Well, tall guy, yep. Physical. Plays a real physical style of pickleball too. Physical. Not going to be your deal.
We'll flesh that out later. What a physical style of pickleball looks like. Jesse, what is our first thing to flesh out or flush?
Yeah, this one's going to irritate me as a former and hopefully future Little League umpire. The automated ball strike system, the tech powering what's colloquially known as robo-umps, is inching closer to the big leagues. An article which Jason shared with us in a text chain earlier today shows
from Axios.
Yeah, that sounds technical. They were in this independent league, the robo-umps. They started in 2019. The study has concluded in the independent league. They are moving out of it, and they want to move up to another league affiliated with a major league club, getting closer and closer to being installed at the major league level. Robo-umps calling balls and strikes. Flush it or flesh it, Tausch?
Flesh it. I think we continue to see technology get better and better. There's just too much inconsistency in the umpiring world. And the problem, or I guess the thought is, how do we keep, because baseball to me, ringing somebody up and that emotion, are you going to let people challenge that? You're still going to have human beings on the field. You're going to have like a robo-ump, somebody robotic behind you and go... Steve, like, I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't want Johnny, or what is that movie, Mac and Me?
Johnny Five.
I don't want Johnny
circuit.
Five. Could you imagine Woodruff firing a fastball and it takes out Johnny Five's eye? And then you're sitting there with one eye in the robot. Like, it's just going to cause too many issues with old Johnny Five back there. I don't know what that's going to look like. I'll tell you, though, what freaks me out more is when you watch it's at Boston, I think it's either at MIT or somewhere, where these robots doing backflips, and that stuff all freaks me out, but the technology is there. We're talking Gordon Flesh technology. It's there. You got to start implementing it. I just don't know in what form. Let's flesh this out, because at some point it needs to happen.
I love this idea. Tausch has been a proponent of it. I did not expect a short circuit Johnny Five reference on today's program. I think this is being fleshed out. I think this is going to happen in Major League Baseball if they're ready to try it out at Triple A, which is where they're headed next. Now, Tausch, you had one more thing you wanted to flesh out, and that is calendar related.
It is, but I just love the visual of Christian Yelich hitting a foul ball and it rips one of the eyeballs off the robot. I think that is just going to be fascinating.
There's
you're
going to
see sparks
robots
flying up. It's a goofy deal. Like, it's going to be crazy. Yeah, so I was talking to my boy Wisey this morning, pre-show, and he said, I don't know about you, but the third week in January is the worst week of the year to live in Wisconsin, just to kind of, because, and his point of reasoning is pretty good. You're still too far away from feeling like spring. Christmas and the holiday season's wrapped. You're dumping all your Christmas stuff. You're putting it away. You don't really aren't looking forward to spring break yet because you're still 6-8 weeks out. You're not in February because then he said next week you start thinking Groundhog Day. You got Valentine's Day. Right now, right after Martin Luther King Day, which is a fantastic holiday that everybody should take off and enjoy, you don't necessarily know what's next. Now it's kind of those long, dark days. I'm kind of with them. I think the third week in January is the worst week of the year from a just overall mood standpoint. But the exception is, and why we all love the Packers, Packer playoff runs shorten a winter like nothing else does. If you didn't have Packer football this weekend, this would be a really long week. What do you guys think?
I do have Packer football this weekend, and I have had a very busy week, so I have not noticed that this is one of the crummiest weeks on the calendar. So while I'm not going to flush this, because I understand for other people who have a different job than I do, it might be bleh, meh, maybe. It is, for me, a very busy week, and I enjoy the postseason. It's a lot of work. But I enjoy all the storylines. I still think this is going to be a close game on Saturday night, and I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I do not think that the Packers are going to roll in this game.
No offense to Wisey, and I know he lives in Sun Prairie, as do you and I, Tausch, home of Jimmy.
He does
Groundhog.
Not live in Sun Prairie, so he's a Milwaukeean. Yeah,
that's even worse then, because we live in Sun Prairie.
Is he related
home of
to
Jimmy
Chief?
The Groundhog.
He is not related to Chief. No.
Who the heck is looking forward to Groundhog Day next? Like, oh, man, we're 1 week closer to Groundhog Day. Here we go.
I think, Jesse, his point is Groundhog Day, you start thinking spring. The six-week deal comes up. It's like,
No.
Well, I'm just telling you his thought process, and I buy into it.
I will counter Wisey. I will say that this is not the worst week of the year. The week of February 21st this year, the last full week of February, is the worst week in the state of Wisconsin because the end of winter at that point does not feel like it's in sight. You're in your post-football season, post-Super Bowl depression. You haven't gotten to March where college basketball picks up and the sun's shining a little warmer. It's just kind of blah, like the wasteland, end of February. Last full week of February. Worst week
Interesting.
On the calendar.
Ash?
You guys need to find some silver linings in your life. Find something to make you happy. You guys are so angry about weeks and the weather and that. Find something fun to do. Come on. Find a cooking show to watch and get through it.
All right. Well, we'll flush that out then.
Well, Ashton, welcome to my group because apparently we did not do the proper job of fleshing that out. I was too busy looking up interesting facts about Short Circuit, the 1986 film starring Steve Guttenberg and featuring El DeBarge's Who's Johnny? That's it for the 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which will include, I'm sure, something that many of our listeners will enjoy, Whoa Nelly. That's all still ahead. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.